Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Chris, who is here to speak with us about his experience of participating in the Sitting Still workshop this last Sunday. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Jen. I'm happy to be here.
Me too. I think I'll really get used to this practice rhythm, right? This support. Monday through Friday, we're all looking at the same themes, getting compared for half an hour every day. On the weekends, to come together and delve deeply into a topic or a training. And then on Tuesdays, we all check in and have a general check-in. It's quite extraordinary.
It is. I think there's a bit of a delay, but can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, again, I was wondering that too when you first got on. Yes, I think there is a bit of a delay. It's a little bit of a camera.
And Jen, I'm having a little trouble hearing you, at least from where I am. You're a little bit garbled.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you for letting me move until you can hear me.
Oh, that's better.
Sitting
that's,
in my favorite.
That's
okay.
Better. That's
okay.
Better. Right there. Don't move.
I will not move a muscle. Chris, did you hear any of that? Did I start?
Yeah, so I heard you much better a second ago. And so if you could repeat your question,
okay.
Then I think we can.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. I was just saying that. I'm so aware of the support that we have. And in the year-long retreat for folks who are doing that, but we're now coming together on weekends as well. And this last weekend was around sitting meditation and sitting still. And so thank you for being with us to talk about your experience. And you can start by saying what you saw in the workshop.
Sure. Okay, so I did catch the tail end of that. So, yes, on our most recent workshop, I noticed, you know, we had a period of sitting, and it was interesting. Ego really didn't feel ready for that. I guess it wasn't prepared, which is it's a good thing when we catch ego off guard.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the first, you know, couple of seconds, there was a lot of chatter going on. And it was really interesting because it was really a good experience with just kind of, what's the word, turning it over to the moment.
Turning it over to the moment.
Right. You know, just going, well, I have nowhere else to be, so... Why not just be here then for this moment?
Yeah, brilliant. And that's so I project that that really comes from, I mean, you've said you're going to do the workshop, you're signed up, you're here, so you know you're not going to be off doing a thing. So it really is perfect to catch ego off guard. Because if I say I'm going to meditate, then ego starts in on whatever it's going to start in on. But when suddenly it's, oh, here I am in the workshop and it's not for meditation, it's like you see a fresh window almost by accident, sounds like.
Right, yes, exactly. And it was interesting because, so, you know, there was the reaction of ego, you know, it expected something else to happen first or something. And then there was sitting with that, and then the probably the most interesting or one of the most interesting pieces for me was just out of nowhere, there was this dropping in of a phrase I've heard Ram Dass say, which is, I am loving awareness.
And that just dropped in.
Yes, it just really came in out of nowhere, and I think the fascinating thing was when that happened, it was like recognition is a good word for that experience. It was just like, oh, right, I'm loving awareness.
Right. So, it was a recognition that that's what I am. I'm here in this moment. I'm experiencing this loving awareness, which we could say, I mean, there's so many synonyms for that, right? Presence, all that is.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's, I think probably, it's just fascinating because it's not like I encounter that phrase 400 times a day. I think I've maybe encountered him saying that. I think I, you know, skimmed over him by reading. I saw that somewhere once. And then apparently that was registered and enough to kind of percolate upwards in that moment. And that was recognition. It was like getting out of what's not true and getting into what's actually true.
Yeah. And it's that brilliant process, Chris, where anything, what you're describing truly is just getting here. I mean, you said it, you know, there's, oh, we're going to sit now, right? There's that, whoa, I didn't expect that. And then, well, I'm here. So how about I just be here? And when that happens, when I just get here, I'm completely available for anything, right? And so the phrase drops and there's that recognition. And what we realize is, I think the way you just said it was, it's moving attention from, you know, some version of a conditioned conversation to here, to presence, to what's actually true. And that's essentially what meditation is, right? We're directing attention to this present moment.
Right. And, you know, it's like, so there is a relationship with ego, you know, that kind of old habit. And it's a bit like, you know, it's helpful to know that there's an alternative to that relationship that I can choose instead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's so important. To know that there's an alternative, because otherwise, this came up, I don't know where we were talking about it, whether it was on that workshop, but otherwise it's a water we swim, right? We're like the fish in water. We don't see it. We don't even realize I'm in relationship with ego until I sit quiet, until I'm still to have that mirrored in some way. It's why things like structure of sitting down to meditate is so helpful, right? So I decide I'm going to sit for whatever. One of the things we did at the end of the workshop was, what are commitments for meditation this week? And people said things like, well, I'm going to sit for 5 minutes, you know, before I turn in for the evening. Or I'm going to wake up and I'm going to meditate for 10 minutes, for, you know, first thing in the morning. And it's the reason a structure like that is so helpful, because then ego is going to throw itself against that commitment. And we're going to get to see all the ways that ego is in control that we don't usually see when we don't have a struggle like that for an upstream.
Yes, and the structure is so essential. I believe that was in our first scheduling workshop where somebody was talking about a cloistered nun who was talking about leisure as an essential part of monastic life.
Yes, it's one of my very favorite things, because that, I mean, it's really pointing at the same principle. I love that quote, because it's pointing at, I think what she says further on in that quote is, it takes time to do this work. Take time to get quiet enough to hear what we sometimes call the still small voice, to hear, to have something like you described drop in for you. It takes time to be still. We're so, it's why ego's so excited about us being busy. Reminds me of the workshop the week before, from do to be. And that's what we're doing when we're sitting. We're allowing ourselves to be.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
Yes, wonderful to have, a moment experience of that truth and to know that on a deeper level.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Well put. Well put. And that, I think, is what all of the workshops, all of the things we do together at Sangha allow us to do, is just keep realizing it on a deeper and deeper level. As you say, when that phrase didn't feel, there's resonance. Like we read, when Sherry writes her books that she writes, when Ashwini writes a meetings article, when we hear fellow Sangha talk, when we're recognizing ourselves, we're recognizing what's actually so. And then we're just realizing on deeper and deeper levels as we participate together.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for being with us this afternoon to talk about your events.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me.
Lovely. Take good care and go happy.
Take care, go happy.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Chris. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Ashwini. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael.
I enjoyed that conversation. Great to experience the workshop again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, it was a very, very powerful workshop.
Yeah, it was powerful for me, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just absolutely loved the exploration and where people got to and perspectives that we heard and difficulties with sitting. And then, of course, that lovely exercise of interviewing how stillness wants to be still. It was just magnificent.
Yes.
And for everybody who missed it or hasn't done it yet, to read Nothing Happens Next, again, it's available as a free download on our website. It's a marvelous beginner's mind reset to meditation.
Yeah. So I'll just reflect that in case people didn't catch it, and that is that Sherry's book on meditation called Nothing Happens Next is now available as a free download on the Living Compassion website, which is fabulous.
Yeah, and it's not just the content that is so interesting to look at, but the process of answering the questions that are asked.
Yes.
It's just such a fabulous view into Zen methodology, Zen training.
Mm-hmm.
It's just masterful.
Yes. Great. And I have announcements here, Ashwini, unless there's something else you'd like to share.
No, please.
Let's see what's going on. Okay. The deadline to register for two supportive programs, Reflective Listening Buddies and the Keeping Commitments Buddy Program, is tomorrow, July 1st. Reflective Listening Buddies requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. The Keeping Commitments Buddy Program pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support with keeping commitments. Both of these compassionate training programs begin a new quarter on July 15th. Bring the kind, compassionate support of the privileged environment into your daily life through a four-week group coaching class beginning in August. Participants in the Living the Privileged Environment at Home class will engage in specific practices that support being present. The virtual class will be held on Mondays, August 3rd through 24th. If you have a favorite quote from Sherry's responses in the current email class, we would like to invite you to share it with Sangha. Please direct the quote to peacequotes@livingcompassion.org so it can be sent out to Sangha through the daily Peace Quotes program. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to talk with Ashwini, you can press star 6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic in about 5 minutes is great. Okay, Ashwini, I think we're ready.
Wonderful.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Ashwini. It's Mira in Seattle.
Hi, Mira.
Hello, Mira.
Hi. I just had to laugh when I heard the encouragement to send in peace quotes from the email. That's actually what I've been mining lately.
So we heard.
So to hear that invitation to everybody is just really, oh, it just warms my heart.
It's amazing how we get messages that the universe is friendly, right?
Yes.
And you're welcome.
Well, right, and isn't we just want some of you to do it? Like, the invitation is out there for everyone to participate, which... Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I really appreciate having this opportunity to talk with you, Ashwini. I've gone through a lot of loss in the last month. And
say that again, Mira. You blipped out.
I'm sorry. A lot of loss in the last month. Two dear pets who were companions for 15 years. And then my dad on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've really gotten to spend a lot of time with a lot of opportunities with grief and it's been really quite amazing in a lot of ways because I could not have predicted that I would be having the experiences that I've been having, which are to really see how life progresses moment to moment, and that it's not like there was any single bad day, that the days included just really everything from the really profound to the mundane to the heartbreaking. And to know that happens all the time.
It is the most amazing part of being present, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mira, as contrasted to what the conditioned orientation towards anything is, right? So if you have loss, then it colors the world as entirely bleak. But your experience is how it can truly be amazing, within quotes, to have the range of experiences of presence in any one day, right? From the mundane to the profound. And all of it I'm here for. Because grief is supposed to be a certain way. Loss is supposed to be a certain way if we consult the conditioned orientation. But your experience of that was quite different. A richness to it, I project.
Absolutely.
Right? A texture, a dimension, a depth. A wonder, almost.
Yeah. And something that I can only attribute to practice. Which is just, we hear that we practice for the hard times, but I think it's also that practicing for the hard times helps us to then apply those same things to the everyday.
Yes, I think what you're pointing us to is so important, right? That practice assists, period. Because what we're always practicing is being here. And if we practice being here, whether the times are hard or the times are not hard, here is what we experience. And then the experience of here is what we're allowed to have, right?
Yeah.
Not that grief is hard and I have to practice for the... to be present to grief because it will be hard, but I practice to be present to grief how it shows up,
Just like I, it's not like I practice not to be bored or to be present when I'm bored. When I'm present, I'm here for whatever it is, right? For the task that's to clean the bathroom or the dishes, or experience and be with the human being dealing with the loss of a father or dear, dear pet.
And so the question that I asked my Zen coach that I was encouraged to call in for was, I found myself, I was alone at home, and I found myself wanting to talk to my dad. And the question came up for me of, do I record or do I not record? And I didn't know the answer, so I didn't. But and she also pointed me to the Musings article, and I just wonder about, you know, the possibility of doing that interview, and I just wonder about how, is it a similar thing to interview those we've lost like it is to interview, I don't know, a tree or, you know, whatever else might you might come across.
Well, what is your sense of it, Mira? Because it dropped in for you, right?
Yeah, well, on the one hand, I've forgotten what I said to my dad. On the other hand, it was like, even though times were challenging, there's just so much appreciation and, you know, wishing him well, and, you know, who knows what, whatever might be coming up. And also, even the hard times contributed to where I am right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Well, and what it to me, you know, when we what several things drop in, right? So the noodling around it is I project a process that you're familiar with. You know, should I not? What is the meaning around this? All of those. And so we clearly know we want to drop that, right? Mm-hmm. Because the only way you're going to find out is to do it, right? Have the experience rather than know whether it's going to produce a certain outcome, whether it's meaningful, whether it's not. You just, I want to talk to my dad, right?
Yeah.
And I said, project the voices would say, well, he's not here to talk to, or he's not going to be able to listen to what you have to say because he's not here anymore. Or, you know, what's the California vibe of talking to spirits that are departed, and all kinds of conditioning that comes up around why you should or should not do it. But the impulse is, I just want to talk to my dad. And so to pick up the recorder and follow through on the impulse and do that interview suggestion, it's for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And if you really think about it, that there is no self and other, in some ways your dad is a part of you, and all you're doing is talking to him, to talking to that part of you, right?
Right.
That you were able to experience through him.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Of course. Of course.
Right. And so everything that was unacceptable in the relationship gets brought into acceptance. Everything that was cherished in the relationship gets brought into conscious awareness. And we continue a relationship with that aspect of ourselves that we projected onto someone else.
Right. Right, and so it's not like I'm violating something by recording it, because it is my relationship with my relationship.
That's right, with life, right? However, whichever form it takes.
Right.
And the questions are so beautiful, right? If you were looking at the interview questions, what do you love about being you? What do you love about me?
Mm-hmm.
What would you want me to know? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's universal. We can have that conversation with life in whatever form we're interviewing. And really, what we're really doing is interviewing life's you know, we're certainly getting in touch with life that is expressed through me.
Yeah. Yeah, and that part where you wrote about being chosen, not choosing Zen, Zen chose
mm-hmm.
you, and it applies mm-hmm. to all of it, right? Same thing with our parents. I mean, even they didn't choose us. So.
That's exactly right. we just got tapped, right? And
right.
showed up in these bodies attached to these karmas and with these relationships, and it was completely random. And
yeah.
not, and we got to have that experience, right?
Right, right, right.
And we continue to have those experiences. I mean, I'm sure before people talk about our parents have passed on, but we still talk about a childhood experience or blame our parents or credit them for the influence they had in our lives. It's not like it's like even if they're not physically in our environment, they continue to influence us, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not gone. Because
right.
we keep them alive in some
yeah.
ways, right?
That's right. That's right. So it might as well be on the recorder since it's still
an
active relationship. Yeah.
Right. And here's the thing, right, Mira? We can't ever make mistakes.
Mm.
We can't. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it feels uncomfortable for you, you can when you hear that recording, you can record with the person for whom it feels uncomfortable. And get clear about what the uncomfortable is about, and then you'll get some clarity on that, and that'll tell you where to go next.
Mm-hmm.
So every place, right? When, for example, that moment you didn't know whether it was, you know, going to violate something or whether you should record or not. You know, if it dropped in, you would pick up the recorder and talk to the person who felt uncomfortable. And get clearer on whether you should report or not. Because that's
mm-hmm.
the choice we have rather than going to conditioned mind to debate whether or not to do it.
Right.
We just go to life instead.
Yeah. All right. Oh, this is so helpful. Thank you. Thank you, Ashwin.
All
I really
right.
appreciate it.
Keep us posted, okay?
Okay. Thank you,
all
Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Mira. Ashwin, I heard a big workshop in projection in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated what you said about how these supposed external relationships are really all internal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, truly.
Yes.
Just getting that changes everything, isn't it? I mean, it's what Sherry's been pointing to in so many of the responses in the email class.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And we have another caller here, Ashwini.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Oh.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Helga from Charleston.
Hey Helga.
Hello. Let's see. The first thing I wanted to say, I just wanted to say how much I love the email class.
Mm.
I think mm-hmm. I don't know why. That was like probably my favorite thing that I've ever done with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like every day I was really looking forward to reading the responses, and you know, I read them like more than once usually. There was like just and so many things spoke to me. It was just fabulous. I just really, really loved it.
Me too. I couldn't wait for the responses to get posted and to see what Sherry
had to say. It was my first Socratic email class. I've never done one of those before.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it was just really, I just loved it.
Well, Helga was expecting a lot of peace quotes from you.
Oh!
Yeah, so that's what I do. As I read them, I cut and paste what it is that inspires and resonates for me and send it in, you know? Because it's so fun.
Yeah.
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 It's truly
you know,
brilliant
I don't,
in guidance.
I don't know how to cut and paste.
All right.
I'd have to handwrite it all out, which I could. Yeah, it was just just mind-blowing. I mean, really, that's exactly what it was. It was mind-blowing. You know, there were so many, I mean, I laughed so much, so many surprises, like, you know, unexpected things. And anyway, it was just, I loved it.
It's an experience of the guide's wisdom that is unsurpassed, right? It's just, it's unbelievable. The patience, what comes through for every response is so carefully constructed. It's so specific. It's brilliant. Yeah,
you know, I had the same, that was the same thought that I had, the patience. You know, the patience was just unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's the you know, I can just imagine 4 or 5 hours on batches every single day, right? And for that, the level of attention on life, for that to come through, it's just truly extraordinary.
Yeah.
And then we all get to receive it, receive that wisdom and relate, as you said, to everything, you know, we can relate to what we are looking at and what everyone else is looking at and how the guidance overlaps. And it's just, the trajectory is, and how people, how people's practice deepens over the 6 submissions and where people get to. It's just, it is truly extraordinary.
Yeah, and you know, and it's so helpful to me to really, you know, see how, you know, how much alike my process is to so many other people. I mean, pretty much everybody, except there was some, you know, that I didn't quite understand what was said. But other than that, I mean, I could really relate to almost everything. And that to me is just so helpful because, you know, ego wants to isolate me, you know, that I'm so whatever, you know, special fucked up that, you know, that that I, you know, can relate to other people. But it really is, I mean, I could relate to, to almost everything that people said, and that it's just so helpful to remember that for me.
Yes, it is so helpful. And that's why we want to do this as a Sangha, right? Because it's exactly what you're talking about. I'm colluding with ego, and I'm not allowed to see that ego is universal across human beings, right? It's not different. It's not special. In fact, I think one of Sherry's responses was how cookie cutter ego is. And that I don't feel isolated or alone or weird in some way, and my problems aren't special. It's a great disidentification. I get to see ego for what it is rather than take it on as something about me, right?
Yeah, that's personal, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so so I had a question. One of the things that, you know, I didn't write it down, so I, you know, I might not say it properly word for word, but in one of the answers, Sherry said something like that we can't control how somebody else shows up, and then and then in I don't know what the word is, a print, no. And then after that, she said something like, "We can't even control how we show up." I think that's pretty much word for word what she said. So what came up for me when I read that was, you know, there was like there was this surprise because, and I think, and what I saw was that in some ways I feel, you know, I or ego wants practice to be a tool for controlling me, you know, so I won't get angry. I mean, that's like what, that's like my big thing, you know, it's like if I just practice long enough, if I just meditate long enough, I'll never get angry again, which is like something, you know, I've been dealing with my whole life, and it's, you know, nobody enjoys that and nobody likes it. And, you know, anyway, so, and it was just, you know, when she said it like that, it was just very surprising to me. And I wanted to talk to you about that. what mm-hmm. what you meant by that, or you know what? Yeah.
Well, you might have to call back in next week, Helga, to talk to Sherry about it. But let's certainly have that conversation, because I project it's really, it surprised you, because what it did was reveal a belief for you about what practice should be doing for you, right?
Yeah, exactly. It just make me a better person, you know, and a better That's person it. Is definitely not a person that would ever get angry.
That's right. And so just interesting to where I went with that when you were talking about it is it reveals that that it's what we were talking about participation this morning on the radio show, right? Life shows up as life and accepts life as life shows up. And it's not predetermined, right? Not at all. And so there's a way in which we're talking about unconditional acceptance here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So however you show up, however life shows up as Helga, is perfect. And nobody can control that, least of all conditioning. But that's what we're programmed for, right? All of our lives, don't be angry. If you're angry, there's something wrong with you. We never get programmed with volcanoes are interesting phenomena because they erupt so violently, right? It's fascinating. And they actually absolutely have a purpose. You know, fire burns forests in order to get rid of a whole bunch of stuff so that the forest can regenerate itself. It's only considered destructive. And so we're told we have to control it. Yeah. But I know we've had this conversation many times that big energy is beautiful. Because it's vitality, right? Vitality at an intensity that we're seldom allowed to have for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so perhaps the encouragement, the invitation is to be all right with however the energy shows up in Helga, right? Unconditionally accept that. Not a version of her that meets some external standard of perfection or controlled, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that I've seen, you know, over these last, whatever, few years is in some ways, I guess, you know, ego wants to take practice again to make me into some perfect version of myself, which is exactly the same what it's always done my whole life. You know, it's like project some perfection that is just complete nonsense. And then it's taken practice to do exactly the same thing. You know, just the different verbiage.
It's so important to see that and see through it, because if practice can be subtly used to perpetuate self-improvement, then it's only perpetuating the self, right? There's no improvement that it perpetuates, it just perpetuates the self. And your whole spiritual practice is to liberate life from any illusion of the self. And so to catch on to that is so, so important.
Mm.
And course correct.
Yeah. Mm.
That life is not controlled in any way, right? It is beyond the scope of anything's control.
Yeah. 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 So anyway, so that was, you know, one of those, I remember that was one of those sentences that I, you know, that really flashed up in front of me because it was so surprising, you know, and
one of those many wonderful, and so true. so true. We don't, we often, if we're not here, we can't control the conditioned reaction that shows up. And if we are here, we have absolutely no idea before the here how life shows up. So if either way you look at it, it's true, right?
Yeah.
Or at least it's our experience. That would be a better way of saying it.
Yeah. Mhm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yes, and I'm sure you'll probably be exploring it further, and you know, feel free to call Cherry and continue the discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Olga.
Thank you. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. And Ashwini, that discussion of control reminds me of one way I've heard Cherry talk about it, which is to say, I only ever talk about control as the illusion of, which always made me chuckle.
That absolutely nails it, Michael.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And Ashwini, we're going to hear from our coaching program. And then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Wonderful. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, thank you.
Zen Awareness Coaching supports us to look at the content of our lives through the lens of process. Through the 6 weekly sessions, we use content such as relationships, career, money, health, even spiritual practice itself, and get support for looking at it through the eyes of not what, but how. We use the tools of recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to see how we suffer so we can drop that and support the human to live in unconditional love and acceptance. People say that the structure and one-to-one support that coaching offers makes a huge difference in their lives. If you've ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and would like to work with a Zen Awareness Coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Let Zen Awareness Coaching provide the support and structure for living in the how of presence.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Ashwini, we have more callers here.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Paul from Los Angeles.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be on.
Well, we're very excited you're here. What are you looking at?
I don't know how articulate I will be, but you know, I just did the email class, and at one point, I just surrendered to Cherry. You know, okay, I'll go record and listen to be. You know, the whole sort of answer is be here. And the way to be here is recording and listening about what I love and what's true. So I just surrendered to that and started doing it. And it was really great. And
good
still
for
it.
You,
I mean,
Mike. Good for you, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it took
well,
me long
and
enough.
I would suggest what you surrendered was ego's resistance, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going along really good. This is so much fun. You know, it's like I sort of came to an insight of like I pretty much love everything. Maybe it's like a process. A process of love because it's endless what you can love. You look around and you find all these things.
I'm doing a happy dance here, Paul.
Yeah, except. Okay, so then I got triggered. And it was like a bomb going off, sort of like, oh, my God, you know, because I was feeling so great and for quite a while, too. And, like, I got to deal with this. So I kind of dealt with it, putting in what's true about what happened. Really nothing happened, totally imaginary, but it had a real strong energy to it. And, okay, then I got back to recording and listening, and it would go away for a day or two, and then I wake up in the morning, there's this feeling, bad feeling. Go through the day, get involved in other stuff, and it just keeps showing up. and each time a little bit stronger. It's like been 4 or 5, maybe a week almost, of mostly fine, but, you know, it's kind of a little worrisome that it's still here. So, I mean, that's what's happening.
So, Paul, do you pick up the recorder when you have the feeling?
Yeah, but I'm sort of, I guess I've limited myself to what I love and what, you know, I record in. I mean, that's what has gotten me to do recording and listening. It's so much fun, fun to do that, and it works. But as far as the something else, no, not much else.
Right. So here's the thing that we get confused about because we're conditioned that way, right? That you said it so perfectly in the beginning. The surrender of the ego resistance brings us here. Here is an experience of love, right? And we're in the process of love, and it's a very, very good feeling. What conditioning does is correlate the process of love with a good feeling. And so now you're allowed to record if it produces a good feeling. So a process that is unconditional presence gets converted by ego into conditioned feeling good. And it prevents you from bringing the process of love to every experience that you have as a human being. Because I would project that whatever's going on for you, if you are with, then you can bring, one of the most important teachings in my life is that love is not a feeling. Love is a process. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not a feeling of feeling good or high or ecstatic or joyful or any of those things. That what it is the absence of conditioned mind. That's what love is. That's what presence is. And so one of the more powerful experiences of love for me is when I'm listened to, when something is going on for me that I need to talk about, that I need to bring out of a lack of acceptance or an ego suffering process into here. And so whenever I feel uncomfortable or dissatisfied, I pick up the recorder and I'm talking about what's going on for me. This feels really uncomfortable. I'm sad. I'm hearing voices like this. And that whole process is an unconditionally loving process because it brings what's in ego into presence, what's going on for me now into presence. Mm-hmm. And that's loving. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage you to do that. You know, every time you feel that, instead of avoiding it or starting to get worried about it arriving into your life and making your life smaller and smaller into only, I really need to feel good, otherwise there's something wrong here, to bring all of life, all the experiences, all the sensations into unconditional love. And the way to do that is with a recorder. And that trains us out of using the recorder. It's what Helga was saying, right? Practice is not about making you feel good at all. Practice is about allowing you to be here for everything you're experiencing. And that is true love.
It's kind of hard not to dislike that bad feeling or maybe to bring it into love. Something that you want to get rid of so bad.
really want to explore that, right? Because what would want something in life not to be negated other than conditioning?
Yeah.
What would hate Paul having an experience of love no matter what difficulty he's going through?
Yeah.
What would want not to be looked at except ego, right? What is disliking the whole process? What wants to avoid the process? Not you, not life. But what makes everything negative and to be pushed away, right? I mean, that's what the Buddha taught. Three things that cause suffering: attachment, aversion, and delusion.
aversion. That's a good one for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when you look straight at something, it becomes less unacceptable, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really the feeling, you know, this concept of feeling bad is not bad. In other words, it is what it is. It's hard not to make that a bad. But you're right, it's coming from ego, saying bad, quote-unquote, I feel. Because I'm
exactly
obviously
right.
I'm obviously identified with ego if I'm worried about feeling bad.
Yeah, it's a double whammy, right?
Right?
So it starts me into feeling bad, and then it's judging me for feeling bad and saying, you shouldn't be feeling bad, let's avoid feeling bad, right? It's just ego talking to ego, judgment on experience that it's created on its own, on identification. And so you just want to get the aversion, if we want to have any aversion at all, which we don't, is an aversion to being stuck in an ego place, right? So it's the thing you started out with, just surrender to the recorder. It's quite amazing what happens when we talk about our dissatisfaction or about our unhappiness or about aversion, because the very process of doing that implies that we're in love and not in any of those processes.
Right. Okay, I'm going to surrender to this guidance as well and go ahead and do it.
Good
Thank
for you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
All right, keep us posted, okay? Take care.
All right, thanks a lot, Ashwini. Bye.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for joining us, Paul. And yeah, I love that conversation, Ashwini, and surrendering to all of it and feeling bad is not bad. It's just fabulous.
And it's not bad if I'm talking to the recorder about why I'm feeling bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Ashwini. It's Karen from Chico.
Hey, Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hey. Oh, I've just loved this, loved listening to everything here. And I've been kind of looking at the same thing, and I just wanted to talk about my experience today. I feel like I had, I don't know what to call it, it's like a building insight. It was like a process that began in, it probably began a long time ago, but it seems I first became aware of it this morning during meditation, and also something I've been looking at about kind of like what was just being talked about with the last caller about, I became aware in meditation that there was some suffering. And so in meditation, it dropped in, okay, as soon as meditation's over, I'm going to do a two-handed recording with this with this person, which I did, and it was just so helpful. And then there was the radio show this morning, the year-long radio show, and something that was said reminded me of a time I came to the monastery. And I think I was coming up as a visiting monk for like a month. And when I arrived, the gate was closed. You know, so there was the getting out, and I thought it was locked, but it wasn't. It looked locked, but it wasn't. And opening the gate and driving, you know, all of that, and arriving. And then there was no one there, you know, no one there greeting me or anything, but there was a note. And then, you know, and as I went in, it's like I just stepped into the monastic, the going on of the monastery, stepped into monastery life, and it was as if there was no greeting, there was no welcoming, and yet what dropped in, I remember, I'll never forget this, is this delight, this love, because I knew I was getting trained. Mm-hmm. And just that there was so much love that I had come to this point where I could come now. And I didn't, nobody had to tell me what to do or greet me or, you know, act excited to see me, any of that. And then from there it built, because a lot of what I was looking at this morning, the suffering person, was over the suffering that's going on in the world, that she projects what she's seeing, just sort of her discouragement. And I realized in all of those things how I'm being trained now by life of what kind of like how to be with all of this in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just kept going from there. I mean, I would love to tell you what I saw, but that's probably for another time. But just that process of one thing leading to the next thing, and the suffering that dropped away, the energy that got released, the new information that I have never seen before. Just anyway, I'm happy to get to be here and just
share the building insight.
Huh?
Well, it's share the building insight, right,
yeah.
Karen?
Yeah.
Because what I heard and what you said is something that has always been inspirational for me in my practice, which is the expanding realization or recognition of how perfectly we're guided.
Yes.
Right? And the level of relaxation that happens in the system as we get to see more and more about how perfectly our lives are being orchestrated for our awakening.
Yes.
Right? And we can see the string of things that happens over our lifetime that is the various stepping stones or jewels on the necklace or whatever else to increasing clarity. It doesn't seem that way when I'm having the experience, but from the vantage point of sitting in meditation and seeing the infinity of all of those moments in the present moment, that
yeah.
flash of recognition that says, okay, this is the thread that has been running through all of these experiences, and it's not even about content, right? Which is why we're so lit up like Christmas trees. It's the experience of, oh my God, I'm being sought and found and looked after, and I'm beloved, and I'm welcome, and I'm being trained in this perfect way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it isn't about the content, because I've never had this content before. You know, I've never had the content that things have never been like this before. You know, I've never been in a pandemic, and I've never seen our country the way it is and all these things, and, you know, the whole world. I've just never seen it. And so, and it's just sort of, I don't know, it put it in a perspective that there is nothing wrong perspective, I guess. And anyway, it was just, and to me, it started with what we've been talking about this evening, is recognizing that recognition of, oh, I need, you know, this is a time to go toward this. This is the time I need to see this. I need to assist someone here. There's, you know, that's where it started. Mm. And it just felt like, I don't know, it's just been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's suffering happening, and I want to move towards it. I want to see it and see through it, because that's the way to liberate the person stuck in this energy vortex, right? And and literally doing something like the two-handed exercise drops into guidance for you. Right?
Yes.
And then there's the movement towards following life guidance, looking at something, being released from it, and then having that reinforcement that whatever I need to know in order to be transformed, life will present to me. So there's no mistake, because everything's here for my awakening. And right now, I'm being trained to be with life as it is, not life as I think it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to receive it in that way, mm-hmm. it, to receive it like, I mean, it sounds, you know how we say it's all for me, and I mean, you know, I'm not, there's a sense of, not this is all for me, but this is all for all of us. Mm-hmm. This, you know,
yeah.
it was
not an ego sense, it's not for you, but it is for you.
Right? Yeah.
Because life is for life, and in that way, it's not egocentric.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a big practice day, and so I'm very grateful to get to.
We're grateful that we get to spend your big practice day with you, Karen. So thank you for calling in and sharing that insight.
Thank you. Gotcha.
It's also what we do with Sangha, right, Karen? That it's what we're talking about with Helga. There are so many ways in which everything builds, and this is probably the only forum in which what you said people can relate to.
I hope so. I mean, there's something in me that hopes so, because I thought before I got on, I thought, gosh, you know, information, you shouldn't talk about this, because who's going to know what you're talking about? And but it just feels so good to be in a practice setting and get to express practice in life, and, you know, and anyway, I just really appreciate the opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And that was another beautiful conversation, Ashwini.
Mm.
And in the interest of time, I'm going to jump to our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi. Gosh, I didn't prepare anything to say. I think that's why I called in, because I had heard from other callers recently about not rehearsing,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking to my reflective listening buddy today, and telling her, we were talking about participating, and I was mentioning to her about not feeling like I didn't have anything to say on the call, and noticing that, you know, there's this belief that I have to rehearse something. So
mm-hmm.
I guess that's what I'm talking about, you know, just.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, I call it A-B testing, right? You want to explore something, and so you do it.
Yeah.
Right?
And
you rehearse and see how it goes, and you don't rehearse and see how it goes. And you get to find out, right? It's true freedom.
Yeah, and just have life come through, right? I mean, just because I think Sherry was saying something about that it's more interesting to hear what life is offering rather than what conditioning had rehearsed, right? So.
Oh gosh, yes. You know, you can go to the experience of wincing when people repeat the same thing over and over again, or it's rehearsed, versus something completely spontaneous and authentic that you are there for, right?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. and I see. There's this belief that I think there's a belief that I should only call in either if I really need some guidance, or else if I have some big insight or something. And
mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing that belief, and
mm-hmm.
just thinking that I just want to participate too. So I'm guessing.
Right, to just show up. And it's so interesting, right, Andrea, that's what we look at, right? Because if we look at the belief that says you're only allowed to do X, Y, and Z under these circumstances, we actually see the nature of all beliefs, how limiting it is, how constraining it is, how it reduces our attention to what it wants us to attend to, how it divides the world into what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and so much of what we miss because that limitation has been imposed on us.
And to just be able to get on and say, okay, here's what I'm seeing, and have a conversation from life in this moment is a training to recognize what the moment is providing in terms of information and revelation, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think, well, you know, conditioning, there's so many limiting beliefs in conditioning, and I guess being able to see it and, well, as you say, look at conditioning rather than through conditioning, even if conditioning mm-hmm. is not just using a conversation, but using sensations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, that's a nuance, right? If it's not using conversation and it's using sensations, say more about that.
Well, back when I first started practicing years ago, you know, self-hate was very loud and the conversation was very loud. And as I've practiced more and more, the volume has decreased dramatically and rarely is self-hate as overt as it used to be. Mm-hmm. But what I notice is that self-hate, you know, or conditioning will kind of take the form more of a feeling or, you know, a belief or kind of like in the background, and it's, I'm not sure how to articulate it.
No, absolutely. The subtlety, it becomes more and more subtle, right?
Yes.
It doesn't go away. It, as you said, the volume goes down, and you've got to be paying really close attention to recognize that it's, the thrum of it is still there, and it's still affecting your experience of life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like, the metaphor is kind of like where, you know, the clouds kind of, you know, slowly obscuring the sun, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the dimmer switch that Sherry talks about, right? It just keeps getting dimmer and dimmer there. And
And so too.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, I participated in the workshop on the weekend, and just surrounding myself with the practice and with my reflective listening call. And what I noticed when I went out and sat for the minutes during the retreat on Sunday was just how peaceful it was. And I ended up deciding to change what I was doing for participating. Because it turned out what I first did didn't really work that well. And so I ended up just sitting down for 5 minutes and just looking and being outside and just being there and being really still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that witnessing is such an important aspect of participation. That doing is almost not necessary. If you're here to witness how life shows up on a moment-by-moment basis, and it requires that intense stillness. Right.
It does, and I know people talk about it kind of as God or as life, and I could really feel that. I could really I was watching the plants move and be blown by the wind gently, and it just seems like there was this wiseness that nature has.
What did you say was that wiseness?
Just very wise, like I don't know how else. How else to say
it? Yeah, it's intelligence, right? Yeah. There's an experience of ancient wisdom in everything, if we're present to it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing. And it's always there, and look at the conversation we've had when we speak from it, right?
Yeah.
It's always got something to say.
Yeah.
Even and if it doesn't say it, right? That's the level of attention. When we pay that level of attention, there's so much communicated subtly, right, through stillness.
Exactly. The subtleness of conditioning and the subtleness of life.
And it's such a joy to be able to train ourselves to be receptive in that way.
It certainly is. It certainly is. Mm-hmm. And the only other thing is, you know, conditioning was coming in and saying, well, you should talk about keeping commitments. And the only thing I want to say about that is that you know, that was trying to confuse me. And then I just decided to sign up for the workshop, the texting thing, because it was like, well, hey, I think that, you know, that dropped in to just sign up for that. So.
Mm. Well, and I would say that you're being receptive to life. Still small voice rather than ego, right? Because what life suggested was, here's a supportive process that you might want to do, versus ego saying, you've got to keep your commitments, right? It's the difference between what works around participation, around doing, versus just going out there and sitting in the sun.
And ego wants to turn it into a drama and to something that's really complicated and needs to be figured out and, you know, needs to be basically noodled about. So I'm seeing that right now, just to share.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Let's not noodle. Let's just go with life. It's always simple, and it never uses more than a few words. So as Sherry says, right, if it's more than two sentences, it's a conversation conditioned mind we can safely drop.
Interesting. Yeah. So the big insight, I think, from all that is just that, that, you know, it'll seem very, like, if I'm really confused, then I'm in conditioning, and it's amazing how it can just, the confusion can just clear up, and then it just falls into place.
Oh, brilliantly stated.
Yeah. And I think I think it's after 9, so I just thank you, and
good night.
Yeah,
thanks,
good,
Andrea.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. Another brilliant conversation, Ashwini, and a big vote for not rehearsing, huh? What we're going to say.
Yeah. It's so much of a waste of time.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So thank you, and thanks to all of our callers and listeners and Sangha everywhere.
Yep, thank you, Michael. Go happy.
Okay, go happy.